אני שייך, הלב נמשך, אני בוכה להישאר, הכל כדאי, אני חי בארץ ישראל. This is my home, this is the place to be, מרגיש את אלוקיי כאן בקרבי, אז תעלה אחי ושב איתי. This is my home, זה המקום שלי.
You're listening to the Bring Them Home Aliyah podcast, posted by Josh Wander.
Shalom, shalom. Welcome back to Bring Them Home. This is Josh Wander from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh. We're here with Rav Nachman Kahana, who is going to share some more of his wisdom with us. Welcome, Rav Nachman.
Shalom Aleichem, everybody, Josh, and all the listeners. Never to Israel and other places. Okay. What do you want to ask me, Josh?
What's going on? The question we have every week is what's going on? It seems like on one hand things are slowing down because we don't have major events happening. On the other hand, it seems like things are moving forward. Or are they? Perhaps, as you mentioned before the show, perhaps we're just 1 week away from Ma'amad Har Sinai.
Well, the way I see it is like this. The Kodesh Baruch Hu is, La'avdil, is someone that drives a car. A car has two pedals. There's the gas pedal, in order to make the car go, accelerate, and then there's the brake, to make it slow down or to stop the car. The Gula Shlema, whatever that means, and Mashiach, whatever that means, is not a Jewish parochial thing. It's something that belongs to the whole world, to all humanity. And Mashiach is not, as in, doesn't have a little shtibel. Mashiach is coming to all humanity. Who knows how many people will be alive then? The 9 billion alive today, or maybe half, maybe that's what Corona is saying, who knows what. But it's a universal act or occasion of the Mashiach. Now, when this happens, everything has to be in the right configuration. We can't have the Jewish people in one place and the world a million miles behind us. There's a configuration, Kodesh Baruch Hu demands. Now, when we get too quickly ahead, Hashem uses the brake. When the world gets too much ahead of us, in Ruchnius, which doesn't happen in spirituality, Hashem presses the acceleration button. But everything, the time, the place, Hashem is the master. He's driving everything the way it should be. That's the way I see it. Another question, but one other thing, like a corollary from this is, my opinion, what happens now is totally irrelevant. Not part of the real picture. Let me give an example of what I mean. There's a game they used to play, the Goyim pool, right? Now, if you're a beginner, you take 5 balls and it's a 3 pocket and you hit it. But if you're a master, you go 3 to 5 to 9 to 8 to 7, 2. In other words, all kind of different stages that you can hit all balls and hit the other one. So what's happening today, it's like a game of pool. Maybe a game of chess. When you have 2 grandmasters, one can see 90 moves ahead, another can see 20 moves ahead, he's going to win. What you see today is not the real story. Go beyond. Use your imagination. Where is it taking us? Obviously, it depends on the person's intelligence, how much Torah he knows, and how much his flexibility of his imagination. That's where you go. You're going to stay and cry, oh yeah, yeah, what happened today? They're not in the real picture. Go beyond. Where's it taking us? You can see 90 moves ahead, well, look about. 20 moves ahead, well, look about. But not the next move. That's irrelevant in my opinion.
I have the feeling that people have a misconception about the whole concept of Mashiach. On one hand, many people around the world see Mashiach as a solution for all of their personal problems, that they need a shidduch, they need parnasa, they need refuah, whatever it is, Mashiach's going to come and solve all my personal problems. So we have to daven that Mashiach's going to come and solve my personal problems. When I see it as a more of a national concept, not a personal concept. And the second thing is Mashiach is often used as a crutch, that we don't have to do anything because we just have to wait for Mashiach to come and he'll take care of everything. What are your thoughts?
You say crutch, I say tranquilizer. Tranquilizer. Put you to sleep. Don't have to do anything. Don't have to pack your bags. Mashiach will take care of everything. Sure. I remember, I think I've mentioned a few programs ago, I was in New York. The last time I was there was 25 years ago, Baruch Hashem. I was in the subway, and two Hasidim stood next to me. Young man, their English is much better than mine. I was in America only one generation. They're already four or five generations in America. And we're talking. And I said, when you're coming, I came and there was Satma Hasidim. I said, when you're coming to Eretz Israel? And one says to me, when the Mashiach comes and send a limousine for us. Nicht winziger, not less than that. A limousine. I said to them, you know, it says Kabbalah and Chazal, there's no tchiyat tameitim in Chutz Laaretz. What happens to tzaddikim Chutz Laaretz? They have to go Gilgul Mechilot. They have to go underground passages that go under the ocean. I don't know what it means. I said, what kind of Hasidim are you? You'll be riding in limousines and your Rebbe is going under the ground, rolling through. What kind of Hasidim are you? Anyway, they took the easy way out. They got up and walked away from me. Mashiach is a big story. I said, it's a world story. All Jewish history in the Tanakh always was around a certain, is a limited area. Us and the Egyptians. Us and Moab. Us and Ashur. Us and the Greece. But what's happening now today, everything, it's a, the world is a global village. It's small. Whatever happens of meaning in this world takes about 1 minute to get around to everybody because the telephones, internet, and everything. Hashem obviously made it that way, obviously. Today it's the world. The Gemara says in the end of first parak of Brachot, going to be greater nisim in the future than there were in the time of Yetziat Mitzrayim. Now, my question is, how do you measure a nes, a miracle? Is there a nes meter? You put in two wires and it shows you which is bigger, which is smaller. No. A nes is measured by the intensity of the danger that it comes to save you from. The bigger the danger, the bigger the nes. The smaller the danger, smaller the nes. The more it will be bigger nisim. It means since the world is going to be, history is going to be revolved around the whole world, be the globe against Am Yisrael, the whole world against us. So therefore the Nisim will be bigger than ever it happened before. The United Nations was made for two purposes. One, to create Medinat Yisrael, and two, to make a decision to undo Medinat Yisrael. That's what it's made for. And then the fireworks begin. Which should I like to speak to about today, about Hashem's fireworks. I recall in last week's message what I wrote to many people, I spoke about, I wrote about the pending Yom HaDin. Yom HaDin, the day of judgment. Hashem's inevitable day of judgment against all of our historic and contemporary enemies. First and foremost, the Christian nations of Europe, the descendants of Esav, then including others like Iran, and the Islamic co-religionists. This evoked negative responses of shock from several corners, claiming that my vengeful tone is un-Jewish and certainly inappropriate for a rabbi. Un-Jewish, indeed. Un-Rabbinic, indeed. I'd like to speak about this. Okay, I'll get to it in a minute. Question. What is the difference or distinction between a right, as in the first 10 amendments of the Constitution, which make up the Bill of Rights, and a privilege? I have a right, I have a privilege. A privilege is something granted as a special favor by the grantor. The recipient cannot demand a privilege. It's a gift. A right is a status upon which one may demand, make demands of its fulfillment. An American citizen has the right to demand his freedom of religion, speech, press, assembly, petition. One cannot demand privileges reserved for the elite. That we are alive is not a right. You cannot demand, God, you made me, I'm alive, now you have to feed me. Now you have to give me children. Now you have to give me good health. No. A right, that's a right you can demand. But to live is not a right. You cannot make any demands on the Kodesh Baruch Hu. To live is a magnificent privilege granted by Hashem. We should be a reality, an entity, which is commanded to recognize and accept Hashem's mastery and monarchy and to service Him by abiding to His will. That we are alive is not a right, it's a privilege. Our Pasha Ekev begins, I'll read the translation right away. If you abide by these laws and will be diligent to follow them, then the Lord your God will fulfill His covenant of love with you as He swore to your ancestors. A few psukim later it says, but if you forget or ignore your God and follow other gods and worship them and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be lost. Two basic principles arise from these two verses. Number one, one does not have an inherent right or entitlement to live. Life is a privilege granted to man by the Creator, and one oversteps that privilege, his life could be compromised. That's a pasuk if you forget Hashem. Number two, there are inevitable consequences to our behavior, for good and for bad. If you will be diligent in following Hashem's laws, Hashem will be good to you. If you're not, if you forget or ignore Hashem, then the other thing will be. Now let's return now to my un-Jewish and un-rabbinic expectations that Hashem, the God of justice, mercy, and truth, will punish all who have lifted a finger or voiced condemnation towards the Jewish people. Number one, what did our father Abraham do to the four kings who kidnapped his neighbor, his nephew Lot? He was a rabbi, Abraham. What about Shimon and Levi in the city of Shechem? Destroyed the whole city. Moshe Rabbeinu, what about, took vengeance on the Egyptian taskmaster for beating a Jew? And is commanded by Hashem to destroy the entire nation of Midian. Joshua, decimated the seven Canaanite nations in Eretz Israel. The Shoftim, Joseph Lake, Gidon, Shimshon, Deborah, and others, when they were not lily white. King David ordered the killing 2/3 of all the males of Moab after the king murdered David's parents and six brothers. And the list is very long. Their hands were not lily white, but they were lily white halachically. To avenge evil is a holy mitzvah. Where do we know this? The Gemara lists three things. Gemara in Brachot, page Lamed Gimel 33, lists three things whose senior status of importance was emphasized in the Tanakh by the word appearing between two names of Hashem. They are Dea, intelligence, Mikdash, Beit Mikdash, and Nekama. Each one, Kehan Nekamot Hashem. Each one is preceded by one of Hashem's names and after it's followed. And the list is very long. Where am I? Okay. The Rambam, Ilchot Malachim, defines Melchemet Mitzvah, a war which is a mitzvah to wage, as the war against the seven Canaanite nations, and by extension, any war to liberate Eretz Israel, war against Amalek, and war against any non-Jew who threatens the life of a Jew. So it's not very unrabbinic to call about, ask for vengeance, Hashem, take vengeance upon the, I'm talking about Germany alone, I'm talking about all Europe, just to begin with. And on Shabbat, in the Tefillah Av Rachamim that we say before Musaf, we cite four different verses. Devarim, we quote Devarim, Parak 32. Rejoice, you nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants. He will take vengeance on his enemies and make atonement for his land and people. Then, of course, the Navi Yoel. Shall I leave their innocent blood unavenged? I will not. The Lord dwells in Zion. We say Tehillim, Parak 79. Why should the nations say, where is their God? Before our eyes, make known among the nations that you avenge the outpoured blood of your servants. We finish with Tehillim, Parak 9. Sing the praise of the Lord enthroned in Zion. Proclaim among the nations what he has done. For he who avenges blood remembers. He does not ignore the cries of the afflicted. Un-Jewish and un-rabbinic indeed. In the matter of avenging evil, we are partners with the Creator. Hashem deals with the big and numerous enemies, but the small and deadly ones he leaves to us. In conclusion, there are many beautiful subjects and ideas in our parsha that I could have spoken about. But Hashem's imminent wrath on our enemies, as I perceive it, we're now in a time when Judenhass, hating Jews, is going and getting greater and greater all the time. We don't have the luxury of burying our heads in the sand and be oblivious to the change in the United States and many lands where Jews live today, not to speak of the Middle East. It brings to mind the prophetic words of the sinister Bilam, "Ein am levadad yishkon v'goyim lo yitchashev." I see a people that live apart and are not involved in dealing with the nations. Many of the commentators explain the verse to mean, in the future when Hashem brings the vengeance upon the goyim, brings down the enemies of Am Yisrael, we will remain unscathed, we'll be alone, we'll be the leaders of the new world. Shabbat Shalom, Nachman Kahana.
There's a movement, I don't know if you're familiar with it, called the Prepper Movement, specifically in America, but around the world.
What's it called?
The Prepper Movement. Prepper. Prepper are people from around the world. You just have to hold your microphone. The people that are around the world that feel that there is an imminent danger, possibility of an imminent danger, either a natural or a man-made disaster, and they're preparing for that by stocking up on perhaps food items, medicine, weapons, gold, silver, whatever they feel they need in case there's a collapse of society. I'm wondering what you think about those Jews that are around the world that feel that there's something imminent that is going to occur, and they're preparing. How should they prepare physically, psychologically, spiritually? What should they do?
First of all, don't tell my wife. If you do, she'll be bearing everything that we have in the house. Listen, people, first of all, they're right. It's going to happen eventually. But evil doesn't go on. There's a limit to everything. The world is a crazy place. I read things about the United States. Was the leader of the free world, that the ideas that people put forward, there's an organization that's calling for the secession of the United States to four different countries, and the thing about the gender, that there's no male, there's no female, it's just what society, it's just no end of the mishagas, that even Sodom didn't have that kind of a level of mishagas that's in the leading democratic country in the world. And these things, there's other places to the world, is not what Hashem planned, or maybe did plan it. My name Ma'od, that Hashem gave the Goyim, Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, seven Noach Kar Mitzvot, and they commanded, this is what you have to keep. Most in the Masechta Avodah Zarah says that Hashem rescinded these commands. He said to the Goyim, this is even too much for you. I thought, keep the seven, go to heaven. It's not going to work. And he lowered the standard of the Goyim to be a mitzvot, which is voluntary and not, Hashem cannot command it. And the sechar for a voluntary mitzvah is lower than the sechar for one which you have to do. For a very simple reason. If you have to do it, then you have tension inside you. Oh yeah, I got to do it. Voluntary, so if it succeeds, it's good. If not, I didn't lose anything. In any event, the Goyim have a different standard. Again, my name, according to is the God of Chesed. He could say, no, I'm not going to punish them. I'm Chesed. Everybody's going to start loving each other and be a great world. We'll go back to Gan Eden. I don't think it's going to go that way. Hashem, first and of all, Hashem is an accountant or an actuary in an insurance company. Statistics is a real science. And like the Rambam says, Luchot Rosh Hashanah, it depends. One person does one mitzvah more than the Averot in the world. The whole world stays by him. And if there's one more Avera, more than mitzvah in the world is catastrophic. It's a game. It's not game. It's numbers. But we, of course, we can't do it because mitzvahs have different qualitative numbers about them. But in principle, Hashem is an actuary. He's an accountant. Go by mathematics. And the world is not going in the right place. It's going down. And is becoming more isolated all the time. Ben and Jerry's, the ice cream is too sweet for me anyway. Ben and Jerry's is just a symptom. Other things are going to follow them. And we'll be Am Labadad Yishkon, will be alone. Not because we want to be alone, because the Goyim are going to make us alone. But that's a big story, but I leave that for another couple of broadcasts. But at the end, I'm really, really optimistic. The saying in Ivrit, someone's optimistic, is called Odam Optimi. Optimi. What does Optimi mean? Up to me. It's up to me. You lie in the bed that you make. We Jews have to worry about ourselves. Come home. Rebuild. They build what we have to rebuild. Third Jewish Commonwealth. And the Goyim, let them go their way, and we'll go our way.
You mentioned a universal recognition of Mashiach, of the Geula. We'll finish with this. Last question. The concept of Mashiach, on one hand, everything has to fit in place. Your parable of Hashem using a gas pedal and a brake in order to make things happen in their right time. On one hand. On the other hand, we understand that there is Be'ito, that there's a specific time that things have to happen, and it cannot pass that specific time. What will happen if that time comes and the world is not prepared?
The Gemara says in the last parak in Sanhedrin, this world was destined to reach the year 6,000. Just like the 6 days of creation. One day of creation is 1,000 years. What happens on the Shabbat? The 7,000th beginning of the beginning of the 6,000, reach 6,000. The world's going to come to an end. And what happens to Tzaddik? There's a whole thing about this. I remember I had a Rebbe in Yeshiva. What's going to be? Comes here 6,000 and nothing happens. Everything's just as it was before. We get up, do what I have to do. So what does it mean? Hashem changed his mind, that's all. Yadut is not dependent upon these dates. Dates change. Hashem changed. Hashem doesn't change, but the condition that Hashem functions do change. Who knows? We have another 219 years for the year 6,000. And we'll talk about it when it comes.
That 6,000 is including, from my understanding, that every positive nevuah that is in Tanakh has to come true by then, and that there is going to be a reign of Malchut Beit David that's also going to happen. So that doesn't leave much time. If we only have 2 centuries left until 6,000, and every nevuah, positive nevuah, has to come true, and there also has to be a reign of Malchut Beit David, that seems like we're coming very much to the end of the road.
Okay, let it be what it is. There's the Rambam and most of the Gemara speaks about how do you define who is a Navi Sheka and Navi Emet? A Navi, a false Navi, and a true Navi. Because even the false Naviim, which bothered Naviim all the time, Yeshayahu said something, and would come a false Navi and say just the opposite, and mix everybody up. Because the false Naviim also had a Shtraimel and a Gartel, and they looked like Tzaddikim. Mom's not like this. if a Navi comes and he says something good is going to happen, it must happen. If it doesn't happen, he's the Navi Sheka. If he says something bad is going to happen and doesn't happen, doesn't mean that Navi Sheka. Hashem changed his mind. The VM, what they said has to happen. Like, you're right. The good has to come out. Hashem opened the door, said, I want to give you all the brachot, but Chaver, you're not taking them. You know, there's a man now in Mexico building a city, Vacharedim, near Mexico City. What kind of shtuyot is that? And the kololim popping up all over. What are you talking about? Hashem is giving us the gift to come back home. When someone offers you a gift and you don't accept it, it means either you don't like the giver or you don't like the gift. That's what you're doing. Hashem, tada rabah, I'm going to stay in Illinois. What kind of shtuyot is that? But that's right. Anyways, Hashem gave us this good Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Tova, Eretz Chava, Eretz Chemda. But do it. Come and take care of it. The more Jews, the bigger the bracha. And remember, there's no vacuum in the world where there's no Jew, an Arab is going to come in. There's no Jew in the Negev, a Bedouin is going to come in. There's no vacuums in the world. It doesn't remain empty. And this is on the conscience of every Jew in the world, that he's not here. On the rabbis, on his teachers, and you can't say, well, my rabbi didn't tell me to come. Forget, your rabbi is one person, you're another person. Okay, anyway, let's end off by saying good things. Have a good Shabbat. You have to think now about Rosh Hashanah. And Chazal say, after Tu B'Av, after Tu B'Av, you can say already, K'tiva Chatima Tova. We should all be inscribed in the book of long life and health. We should all meet together, B'Zat Hashem, and Eretz Yisrael.
Amen. Thank you so much. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you for listening to the Bring Them Home Aliyah podcast. If you identify with our message, please subscribe and tell your friends about us too. You can leave us a review on iTunes, as that really helps us grow. We are available on iTunes, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts. For sponsorship opportunities and for all other inquiries, please email us at bringthemhomeisrael@gmail.com. Check out our website at www.israeltorah.org for more content on this vital topic.